Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls pod channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Chrissy Mercer. That's right. You heard right. This is a podcast channel.
Yes.
Not just a singular podcast with the same type of conversation. We have all different convos between us, between you guys, and between guests.
The commonality being that we're here, the two of us.
But also, we're intrigued by good conversations.
That's right. And so today is one of those. It is an interview with Tim Dormer, who you will know as a reality star, but has essentially become a content creator in his own right. And we'll get to him in a second, because what an intriguing and incredible chat we had with him, which went on for probably another hour after we stopped recording.
Oh, mate. And not just went on, but just was kind of mind-boggling.
Well, it threw me. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yes.
We've got a bit of housekeeping. Don't we, Mess?
All right, let's shoot through it. We have a live show. We are touring the country. Well, almost. Soz Perth. Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney. Tickets are now on sale. Thethinkergirls.com.au is where you can get to get all of the ticket info right across two weekends. There's two different ticket prices, general admin, and then also a special meet and greet with us if you want to have a bevy and have a chat before the show starts. Mm-hmm. We bloody love that.
We will. Some photos will be taken, some laughs will be had, and you'll also get early access to all of the ticketing, all the seating, I should say. It's not going to be a podcast show, guys. It's the first one we've ever done. It will be a panel show with many different guests, and this time we will be organized, so we will be letting you know who they are before we actually drop. But they're big names and they're big conversations. There'll be two or three in each state. So we're really excited to be able to have those conversations and finish off the year with a bit of a bang.
No shit. Because I think typically if it was like, oh, I can't get there, or I'll just be able to catch it, I'll be able to catch the audio version. We need to reiterate, you will not be able to do that. The only place you will be able to hear these conversations from the live show is by actually being there.
That's right. That's right. So we appreciate your support. If you are somebody that listens to us regularly and would like to support us and can't make it to one of the shows, which does all help, you could become a VIP Posse member via Patreon. The link is also at thethinkergirls.com.au or patreon.com/thethinkergirls.
Yes. Now, on to our guest, Tim Dormer. You will know him. 2015 that he won Big Brother Australia. He also placed second on Celebrity Apprentice, then came third on Big Brother Canada. So when we say he's a reality star or a reality man, he knows what he's absolutely doing.
I think he was such a strong, a lot of people you walk away going, oh yeah, that guy won it. Oh yeah, that guy won it. But then throughout the show, like a lot of reality television shows, the winner was that person that kind of meandered their way up and was almost like the quiet achiever, and then all of a sudden they win it. Whereas Tim was such a strong force the whole way that I really remembered him from the series, but I didn't associate him with just the winning. Does that make sense? I think he was so, it was so different, and he was so memorable in many ways.
Well, he explains that in this chat. The producers put him in the house to mix things up, to stir the pot, to be a bit of a little shit for ratings, and he was never supposed to win, yet he did. Mm. I remember him back in the day being a bit of a radio nerd, and you're kind of looking to cling to anybody that's doing something cool. I remember him doing a radio show called The Hit List.
What
which
was
that? It was a night show that he did with Renee, I've forgotten her last name.
Oh, she Renee does, Barr.
Renee Barr? Yeah. Yes, yeah. Mm. That they did, and it was like right across the regional network of the company that we were working for, and that for me was a bit of a dream kind of job. And I remember him, he didn't have the long hair that he had now.
Well, this chat goes into so many different angles. We talked to him about his coming out experience, how he really didn't classify himself as I wouldn't say sexual being, but he didn't have sex for a long time. He dates the way he sees the world should work. He lives in his relationship the way he sees the world should work. He defines the path for himself. And I think as most of us that are, and very few of us that try and live in a similar way, it's a very conflicting place to be, because in this country especially, it's not encouraged for you to live differently. It's not encouraged for you to question things. So he's always bouncing around in his mind. You can tell he's got a lot of things going on. But what comes with that is incredible intelligence, insane emotional intelligence, and this, you know, really lovely being who is able to read a room and really engage with you.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating chat. We go deep real quick. If you like Tim, you can let him know you heard him here. You can follow him at Tim Dormer, D-O-R-M-E-R on Insta or on Facey. We hope you enjoy the chat.
Tim Dormer, welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel.
Oh, thanks for having me, girls.
No, not welcome. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Because you were here. Well, by the time this airs, it was a little while ago now, where you joined us for our live show.
The Batchy.
For the Batchy recap. That was nice.
It was fun chatting with you girls. I really like your energy.
But I think it's really important that we set a pace and an energy that the things that outside tell us we shouldn't be talking about is put as the forefront of importance in conversations, particularly as a podcast medium. And we were talking about earlier about how it is a different show that we did to the radio show, and how there is a respect to the medium of having this very open and honest conversation.
And it can flow anywhere, I guess. That's what I love about podcasts, is it's kind of like, it's playing within boundaries, but they're a lot wider than a radio, like a commercial or mainstream media. Yeah.
Well, that's why people listen though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you have a podcast.
Yeah, so talking about behind-the-scenes reality TV, which has been great. It's been a bit cathartic, really, to kind of... Because I've never watched myself on reality TV, and for me...
Hang on, not at all?
No, ever. No. What, not, that... not because I'm funny about seeing myself on TV or anything. No, I'm very narcissistic. I'd be fine with that. Yeah, it's more just the experience that I had.
Yeah.
And especially Big Brother, I guess, because you don't see the TV cameras, really. You're in a wall. And I made real-life relationships, and it was such a huge turning point in my life. It was a huge life experience for me. Not a mainstream reality TV show where there was promos each week and we were just characters. I don't know. I like to separate that in my head.
And how did you do that?
And I think if I ever watched it.
And so has that helped you then think about yourself versus your, I guess, public persona?
Absolutely.
At the moment, so with the Instagram and all the social accounts and everything, do you believe that there's an easy separation from who you actually are and what that person is, and what would the points of difference be?
It's tricky. Do you know what? I remember early on struggling with it, and someone in the industry gave me advice, and they were like, it's your choice. Some people decide, like, that they are going to have a public life and a private life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're okay that the two are very different. They don't see, what's the word a contradiction or a paradox? And I could not do
or
that.
Or authenticity.
I just really struggled that.
Have you trialed it and gone, no, that doesn't work for me?
Well, I guess for a large part of that public profile, I was seen as this straight party boy.
Yeah.
And I had a long-term relationship with a guy that I wasn't ready to share that.
Mm.
And that was because my family are quite conservative. I knew that they wouldn't be okay with it. I thought that it would be the end of the relationship. I was just trying to protect it until I was ready to kind of put it out.
But your coming out, which for me wasn't really a coming out, was the most stunning approach to it.
Oh, do you think? See, now I wonder whether I need to come out again.
Well, that's a personal decision.
What do you mean?
So when I came out, and it was a big kind of like I wrestled with it for months and spoke to a lot of different people about the terminology to use. I was really anti the term coming out. I just thought this is stupid. We're in a day and age where straight people don't have to come out. And I just don't like that we kind of put LGBT people in this position, a point in their life where they have to explain themselves. It's like you have this moment, this turning point where you become real to everybody else. And until that point you were somehow, not authentic or there's something or not even sinister or
no, like undefined almost. Yeah. Like this real like you're walking around without any substance until you clarify and some it's kind of
like
of
everybody
sexuality.
Else is like, I don't know what box to put you in, and therefore I can't employ you, or I don't want to be with you or be your friend. I think that as humans, we kind of need to do that. It's a survival thing. Like, it's playground when you kind of sum everyone up. And
the labels thing, yeah. And especially when you're and your partner and your family you know who you are and you love yourself and they love you. It's almost like, well, why should I then have to... Is that how you felt? Why should I then have to put it out to everybody else?
I was just really conscious as well for... And I did really want to use it to help people. And I always, my whole life, thought I didn't have anyone that represented me in terms of under that LGBT banner. And I know there's an amazing people out there that have done amazing things. I didn't have my hero out there. Like, I kind of went, nobody...
Speaks to me.
And so I went, you know what? I've got to do it for that reason, because there'll be someone out there that goes, oh, I like the fact that he just came out as I'm in love with a person. I'm not doing a label. But now, I guess 2 years on from that, it's kind of like, well, am I gay? Am I fine now to use that term? But it's not true, because if my partner was to die or we were to break up, I would be fully open to seeing a girl. Like, it's not... I don't know.
It's an interesting thing. And I think even if you still are thinking about if there is a definition that you fit in, if there isn't, at that time when you did that post and you told the world that I'm in a relationship with a guy, it doesn't... To me, it didn't matter whether you, again, in the future, define yourself as gay or straight. It was really important for you to very honestly and authentically express where you were in that moment. And I think that's the bit that I found so refreshing and a little bit ahead of our time, I must say.
Really?
Well, gone are the days. Yeah, I remember mentioning it to you and saying, oh, how fucking refreshing. We often get that word thrown at us a lot. So now that's kind of made me think about how nice that is, because really, you know, it was how many years ago now that you did that post? We didn't have, you know, bi curious Mr. Younger Man, whatever his name, Nicola, overseas. And we didn't have these storylines of trans people. We didn't have all of that stuff when you were doing that.
Yeah, you're right.
And there was
it's only been the last couple of years, I think. And especially with that marriage equality campaign last year. Last year it was all about gender and the trans rights thing. I think Caitlyn Jenner became forefront around the world. We're all kind of rethinking these boxes that we have set up over hundreds of years.
And that once you define yourself in one box or somebody decides you're in a box, doesn't mean you're in it for life.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When I look back, it was awful. It was such an awful time. Like, I don't think I was mentally sound. And I really sympathise with anyone going through that moment of... But as soon as I did, it was the band-aid came off. And immediately I just... there was no vulnerability that I felt could be exposed. Like, I was living with this thing that, oh my God, like, if this doesn't get told in my way with my voice, I'll never get that moment back.
Yeah.
And I'm really passionate about when people out other people, my gosh, it is not cool. I actually think there should be laws about that.
Yeah. Like, it's totally a type of
shaming
that,
you're robbing someone of that moment that...
But there's laws against racism.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing.
Mm. Well, like, it's discrimination to be able to...
100%.
And especially, as you say, that first moment for somebody to share with their loved ones... You know, that you might have been, you know, building up to or thinking about the way in which you would like to do that for your entire life.
Yeah.
That's full on.
What I am identifying with, which sounds hilarious because I'm a straight married white woman, and that makes me cringe saying it out loud because it's just something that I never really through my journey identified with those stereotypes.
Yeah.
But having said that, I straight away identify with you because... regardless of what the box that everyone's trying to put you in, and I certainly feel like there's been boxes that I've been put in, I found almost a resistance to wanting to be happy and celebrate my love for my partner because of all of those boxes. And mm-hmm. I hear from what you're saying is that because you've got this emotional intelligence, it went from a core of being about feeling and where you were at as opposed to all the bits and the layers on top.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, would you think?
Yeah. I mean, I had the aha moment probably 6 months before I came out. Like, I was on Big Brother Canada, around the other side of the world. Before I went, my partner said, hey, when you come back, we're sorting this out. I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I knew he meant it.
It was 2 years or like with that you were
together? Yeah, that was probably about 18 months, 2 years into the relationship. And like, we were already talking about like long-term plans. Mm-hmm. Like, one day we wanted to get married and this sort of thing. Like, I knew I was in love with him forever. I just could not conceive of an existence where I could have him in my life. Like, with the job that I had, my family being so conservative, and it was a real identity shift of consciousness, maybe even. I don't know, but it was something that I just had to let myself go, this is so scary, but you know it's the right thing to do, and you know what life has been like for the 30 years that you've lived not addressing this, not lifting up the rock to see what's underneath. Like, I just never... wanted to talk about it to myself.
Yeah. So where did that come from? Your family? Did you hear
a religious upbringing.
Right, Which, and it was it religious to a point where you would be, oh, those gays, and there were actual comments thrown?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, growing up at school, I didn't fit in. I didn't look like the other boys. I didn't play sports like the other boys. I always just thought I was creative. I didn't ever think it was a sexuality thing. Mm. And it sort of caused this deep sort of wound that has only healed in the last year of really loving myself and going, oh my God, that one thing that you thought everyone teased you about, it doesn't define you, and it's actually the best thing about you. And I never let myself get to that moment until I was in my 30s, and I nearly lost the most meaningful person in my life because I wasn't going to go there with myself.
So was it Ash and your partner now that you're speaking about?
Yeah.
So it was him and that relationship that made you come to terms with who you always knew that you probably were but just didn't want to face?
I don't think I knew that I was that person. Mm. I don't know. It was such a weird part of my brain that you just didn't really... I'd had sex with guys and girls, never had a relationship with a guy. And I think for me, that was a bit of the fence post was there. It's like, okay, well, I'm not gay because I would never, ever want a boyfriend. All of a sudden, I had one and I loved it. And I just, I don't know, I started to make the other things not matter so much because I just wanted that. So over in Big Brother Canada, different country, people I didn't know, in this really unrealistic existence for 3 months, we have a lot of time to go inside yourself. And I just remember, like, most nights I just sat there meditating on my relationship and how much it was real life, but it was weird that nobody else knew that about
what
my life.
What an absolute head fuck already to be.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in a Big Brother house, but you're overseas. You know, like that sense of familiarity is completely gone.
So I throw another head fuck into the mix. There was a girl on the show.
I remember the story.
I had feelings for, and the show was making it out that we were a showmans. And it was weird. Like, I get an erection when I'm cuddling her on the couch. But I'm like, I could easily, like, just follow this storyline almost. But it's not my real life.
Yeah.
And at that point, and that was the point I needed to come to, was it was like, okay, there's like this sort of game version of you that the whole world sees that you could do this. It's almost like a... I don't know, like a character.
Would that have been an easier option in some ways?
So. I think so. I do actually think so.
Being straight is easier, the end. Like, there is no discussion point there, I don't think.
Yeah.
But to continue
to be inside yourself. Exactly. Knowing that it's almost like you get further away from the mark of really being who you actually
are. That's a good point.
I don't judge straight guys that have decided to define themselves with that label but might be curious to try. That's the choice they've made. I actually pity them and sort of think, oh gosh, you've never felt that freedom that I now feel. Like, it's just crazy that the difference that that moment makes when you, I don't know, take ownership of.
Was there a moment in the Big Brother house in Canada where there was that real, I'm going to stick with real life.
Yeah.
With real life version of me when I come out, this is...
I'd love to chat to the producer involved. They wanted me... It was towards the end of the show. And the way it went down, like, I kind of forfeit the show. Like, I did sort of... I quit a final challenge that could have put me in the finale and I had all the votes to win the show. So it was a really big moment where the pressure was like... They wanted me to sacrifice my place for the girl, the Canadian girl that... We were kind of in this showmance, an alliance together. One of us was going home.
Yeah.
And they said, like, in the diary room, this is the producers, like, all off air, Tim, this would make the best, like, love story. You've come all the way from Australia and now you're going to give up your spot for her to go on. And I was just, like, wrestling with them for days saying, but it's not a love story. It never has been. And, like, I understand that you've made a show and I'm really concerned about what... as you've made. I didn't even want to tell them that I had a partner back home. And
so they were getting, they were so confused.
They were so confused.
They're like, this is a great story.
Why is this guy not doing this?
He's done very well out of this situation. What the fuck is the problem?
And I was.
Nobody had any idea that you had Ash, your partner, back at home. No one?
No.
Not family? No
family. I had a few close friends that kind of, it was unspoken. And I did say to them before I left, I was like, can you just look after Ash for me while I'm gone? And so they knew. And straight away when I came home, within 2 weeks had told my whole world, like family, friends. But, so that moment in Big Brother, I was so tormented. I think they even got the psychologist involved because I didn't know at that point whether Ash actually even still... was going to be there when I came home.
Oh, fuck. And I have goosebumps hearing you talk about that. Like, the hairs on my arms are standing on end. There's so much.
It's a funny story where nobody knew this happened.
I know, but you're like, so alone. Like, all you would want sometimes is someone just to listen to you, to be able to say it out loud. You don't even want advice.
I was begging them for a phone call, but how would I explain who I wanted to call and how would I talk to Ash through code with other people listening? And then another part of me thought, do I just come out now on this show?
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, but...
And they would have loved that, but I wouldn't do that to my family. I just couldn't do that to them. And I didn't want... It was part of the ownership of that moment. I didn't want it to become this sensationalist TV moment.
But this is the interesting thing in the real funny world we live in. Being this authentic, I guess, brand/person... You really dance around with storyline ideas for your life. And it is this, it's really quite a very hard thing to explain to anybody that isn't doing this kind of work because you literally have just danced around with a plot line for your own story, which is your life.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, everything you do becomes content.
Yeah.
And the relationships you have with people.
A lot of people choose their ambition over having children, over their partners, over going home for Christmas. People are ambitious people. But for us, to be ambitious would mean that you would then utilize a platform to come out on. Yeah. And that is your life. Like, it is quite sensational when you really think about it. And it's quite, I think, on the flip side of that, quite admirable that you didn't take those opportunities, because a lot of people would, you know, and a lot of people do. But I think the interesting thing that I found from this story is it's almost like the universe has presented you with two life options in front of your face.
You are basically Gwyneth Paltrow right now, in Sliding Doors.
Sliding Doors.
A little bit deeper. That guy was a tosser, like, on her show. You know, the guy she was, like, going to end up with, not end up with. But what I find so fascinating is that you lived it so really. Like you were saying, you were turned on by this chick. This wasn't you were completely in and able to feel both options.
Yeah. Oh, and life is complicated. That's why these boxes and definitions we want to put people in, that's why they don't work, because it is really hard. I do believe that people can have feelings, strong love feelings for more than one person. And it's, I don't know, it's not a simple way of thinking or a simple life to not see the world that way. But you've got to understand that other people might be a little bit more complex.
Well, I think everybody's complex. I think it's just about how many layers of Pandora's box you're willing to open.
Yeah. And some people find security in the definition and the role.
I feel like most people do.
Yeah.
I really do. As if we're talking a general consensus, not the people that we would be friends with or relate to, or, you know.
Well, there's some people that I'm friends with that definitely do. Like, they're just very different to me.
So we're always going to... we're always going to make them feel uncomfortable, not offend them as such, but the fact that we kind of do wrestle with these things, and we are pushing the definition of what it means to be a married woman or a single female, white female. I mean, people want to be able to push the boundaries themselves in their own life, and I think they find it hard when they meet someone that is doing that and they can't in their own life for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, it's confronting. Well, I think the thing is too, it's like if you were to take away any kind of exterior judgment from anybody, whether it be people that you love, strangers, anybody, and I'm not just talking like yourself, people in the public eye, just anybody. Mm. If you were to take away any judgment from any other person, It'd be really interesting to see the way people's lives may or may not shift. If you were to go, I'm going to take away any exterior judgment. If it's just me, what do I want? How would I live? Would I quit this job tomorrow? Would I break up with this partner?
Yeah.
Would I, you know, admit to my best friend that I've been in love with them for 30 years?
Yeah.
I sometimes...
Would I not actually aspire to earn any money?
Yeah, I sometimes... But genuinely, that's what I mean. It's not just...
Yeah.
It's not just the job identifying thing. It's not just the gender, how do you identify, or what, you know, your sexuality. Like, I find it so interesting sometimes. We even did a couple of weeks ago about, you know, like I was, you know, 7 seconds away from getting a boob job, and we were talking about beauty standards. And I often do think about that. I'm like, it's hard sometimes to define what you actually feel and think in yourself versus what's just been projected on you for so long.
Yeah, the expectation of
particularly
others.
As women, that's a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
TheThinkerGirls.com.au is where you can find all of the podcast shows, all of the different articles featuring our guests and posse members, and all the content that Christy and I bring on a weekly basis. It is the place where everything is kept. TheThinkerGirls.com.au.
This podcast is presented by The Thinker Girls, Stacey June and Christy Mercer. This podcast is produced by me, Christy Mercer, and edited by our podcast producer, Jordan Lott.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.